Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh, and had been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route.
Join with me in prayer. Dear Father, just as you guided the wise men to Jesus, guide us as we grow to know more about Jesus and have our hearts changed to be more like him. We want to live our lives to you as a gift. We want you to be the king of our hearts and lives, to surrender to you. Amen.
Thank you.
We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward.
Want to come on forward?
Good morning. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we're just so delighted to be here to worship and sing songs unto you. We ask you to be with us now as we give back a portion of what you've given us. We ask this and all things in Christ's precious name. Amen.
With us, my heart sings a brand new song. such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet.
Bye. Just so in awe of the fact that you came, that God came as a baby to rescue his creation. Thank you. Thank you as we celebrate this Advent, looking forward to your coming, not to your coming in the manger, but to your coming again. Lord, help us to live lives that are ready to meet you again. We pray in your name. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us. Would you take a moment to say good morning to somebody?
One of my favorite
Christmas
songs.
Yeah.
And what child is this?
I know.
Well done, you guys. Thank you so much.
That was good. That came together well. Thank you.
Careful. All right. My stuff squared away here. Well, good morning again. It's good to see you all here. Want to just go over a few things here. The connection card, so we're still in the process of getting our directory and our phone list done. And so if you need to update information, you can put that on there. And then also prayer requests and praises can go on there, and that goes to our prayer team. Bulletin stuff here. We've got this evening, we've got caroling, and there will be a potluck prior to that, so you can come and participate in that. And then Christmas Eve service, 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. So there you go. The Experiencing God study, if you're going to participate in that, so there's two sign-up sheets. There's a sign-up sheet to participate, and there's a sign-up sheet to get a book. So you need to make sure you're on both of those if that's what you're doing. And then if you have any questions on that, you can contact me. The money needs to come to me so I can track it, and then I've got books available now also. And since last week, we now have a new TNT director. We had a for that last week, and someone has set up to do that, so praise the Lord. And then so the current Washington legislature is trying to pass this thing on this new sex ed stuff. And so if you're wanting to find out more information about that, find out who you can contact about that, if you have kids or grandkids or just no kids that are in the school system, there's a flyer out in the hospitality area that has all the information on it that you probably will need for that if you're interested in following up on that. You can also talk to Larry Batterton about that also. All right. So, have some Christmas jokes this morning. Oh, Bill. Nope, time's up. And Kelsey Jones is home for Christmas, all the way from Africa. So that's nice. All right. So an atheist complained to his Christian friend, "You Christians have your special holidays such as Christmas and Easter. The Jewish people even have national holidays, Passover, Yom Kippur. But we atheists have no recognized national holidays. It's unfair. It's discrimination." His Christian friend replied to him, "Well, you can celebrate April 1st. Yeah. So you know what would have happened if the three wise men had been women? So they'd been three wise women. They would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time, although I might debate that one. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned the stable. They'd have made a casserole. And they'd have brought disposable diapers as gifts. Little 10-year-old girl, her grandmother had been teaching her about the Bible and, you know, doing a pretty good job at that, and she'd become pretty knowledgeable. And then one day she asked her grandmother this question that just floored her. She goes, "Grandma, which virgin was the mother of Jesus?" Grandma's thinking, And then the little girl says, was it the Virgin Mary or the King James Virgin? All right, with that, let's pray. Father God, we just do thank you for this morning. Beautiful morning. Doesn't look much like winter, but I guess that's okay. And just thank you for just how you provide for us this time of year that we can celebrate the birth of your son. And Father, just help us to be, you know, so aware throughout the whole year. Yes, he was born on Christmas, but his goal was Easter, that time when he would die on the cross for us and then be resurrected, that was his goal in life. That was your plan. Thank you for that. Father, I pray this morning for everyone that's here, Father, that they would hear your voice, that the Holy Spirit would speak to them. He would just provide whatever it is that they need this morning. And I know there's all kinds of different things that we're dealing with as individuals. And so, Father, I pray that they would hear your voice, whether it's something that they need some confrontation this morning, or maybe they need just to be challenged, or maybe they just need to be comforted, whatever it might be this morning, Father, that you would orchestrate that in their lives. I pray that you would use me to speak your words, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are continuing our study in Advent, and so this morning we lit the last candle. And so by way of review, just remembering that the idea of Advent is that looking forward, the preparation time and the looking forward, you know, initially it was at the coming of Christ, the first coming, and now, so if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we're now looking forward to that second coming. That's what we're preparing for. And so the first candle that was lit was the candle of hope, the hope in Christ's return. The second candle that we lit was the candle of peace, and that's a peace with God. It's that peace that the world doesn't understand, that goes beyond world's understanding. John 16:33, it said, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So we see in that verse that this peace he's talking about is this internal peace, this peace that we have with God, because it may not be peace in the world. And then last week, we lit the third candle, was the pink candle, the candle of joy, and learned that joy isn't based on circumstances. The joy that we need to have needs to be a joy that's generated by God, by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:8-9 says, and though you have not seen him, Christ, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. And that's where your joy needs to come from, is from salvation. So as we celebrate Advent and Christmas, we need to be fully aware of God's love and where it's leading us. The Christmas story of love might begin in that starlit manger, but it ends up on a harsh noonday afternoon, the sun reflecting off of a cross and Jesus hanging there. God's extravagant love was demonstrated in his willingness to give sacrificially to us. God gave us his most precious gift, his only son, knowing that even in offering it, that not everybody would appreciate it, that not everybody would honor him, and that not everybody would recognize Jesus as Savior, yet he still was willing to freely give this love so that the creation could have a restored relationship with God. The gift that God gives at Christmas was at a great price, almost beyond measure. God does indeed care enough to send the very best. The best is the gift of Christ. this bundle of love wrapped in cloths in a manger of all places, laid him in a food trough. It's the gift that makes the angels sing. It's the gift that the shepherds run to see. It's the gift that the Magi traveled to worship and adore. And it's the gift that continues to bless us even today. So today we lit the love candle, and that's our topic for today, looking at love. If you're familiar at all with the Bible, when you hear that term, the definition of love, you may immediately think, oh, 1 Corinthians 13, right? The love chapter. Well, 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 4, gives us a lot about love. It says that it's patient, it's kind, it's not jealous, it doesn't brag, it's not arrogant, it doesn't act unbecomingly, doesn't seek its own, doesn't provoke, doesn't take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But you know what else this is a definition of? This is a definition of God. Because this is who God is. God is love. 1 John 4:8. It says, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And then verse 16 says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Also, we need to realize that love is an action. It's something that we do. 1 John 3:16 says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So loving is an action. It's something that we do. Now realizing this Christmas season, wanting to look at, you know, love from the perspective of some of the characters, one of them being Joseph. Joseph, who was betrothed to Mary, we're going to see what his love looks like. This is Matthew chapter 1, looking at verses 18 through 25. It says, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary his wife, but kept her a virgin until she was to give birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So we see here Joseph, who basically was engaged to Mary, and finds out that she's pregnant. Well, what Joseph wants to do here, and I really think it's because he loves her and because of the kind of man he was, it says he was a righteous man. He didn't want her to be disgraced, and so he was going to quietly take her off somewhere so she wouldn't be disgraced, because he loved her. He cared about her. And Joseph now is going to be the father of this child that's not his. And yet, every indication is that he was a good father, that he loved Jesus, that he raised him as his own child and loved him as his own. Another person we want to look at is Mary and the kind of love that Mary had. First off, let's look at the kind of love she had for her heavenly father. So in Luke chapter 1, 37 through 38. So now the angel has come and talked to Mary and tells her what's going to happen. And Mary's thinking about this, like, how in the world can that possibly happen? And the angel's response to her is, nothing is impossible for God. And so then Mary says to the angel, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel departed. So in other words, Mary, because of her love for God, says, okay, I'm going to trust God. I love him. I'm going to trust him that this is what needs to happen. So I'm willingly going to give of myself. And then her love for the child. She raised this child. She carried this child for 9 months. And Jesus was born as a baby. You know, and I you know, use your imagination a little bit. Yes, it's Jesus, the Son of God, but it's still a human baby. You know, so it's going to cry and do all the baby things that happens. And yet Mary loved this child as her own. And we see farther as we get towards the end of his life that she still cared for her son. As she now was seeing that he was going to the cross, and yet she still loved him. And then what about us? We as believers in Jesus Christ, how are we to love? How are we to love? Starting out in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, God tells us how we are to love him. That we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. So every part of our being, we're to love God. And then also, how are we to love fellow believers or the brethren? How are we to love them? 1 John 3:16 says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The Bible says there is no greater love than one lay down his life for the brethren. And so God wants us to understand that that should be our attitude, that we're willing to lay down our very lives. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who is born of God and knows everyone who is born of God knows God. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Being willing to give ourselves. But then it even goes beyond that, because it's not only are we to love the brethren or to love other believers, but basically we're supposed to love everyone else also. And we see this in Mark 12, 31, where it says that we're to love our neighbor as ourself. Jesus shared a story with people when they asked, well, okay, so who's my neighbor? And basically he went on to tell them, so here's the story. That was the one about the Good Samaritan. Jesus basically is telling them, you need to love everybody. Your neighbor really is everybody. It's not just the guy next door. But your neighbor is everybody in the world. We're to have a love for them. Now, that doesn't mean we'll always like them. But we're still supposed to love them. And then what also we learn from Scripture is that we should not love the world. We should not love the world. 1 John 2, starting in verse 15, John just comes right out and says it. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And those aren't the things that we're supposed to love. We're supposed to love God. We're supposed to love other believers. We're supposed to love people. What we can be assured of, however, though, is that we can overcome in the world. 1 John 5:5 says, who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So we can have victory in this world by not loving it, Jesus gives us the ability to not love the world. And then what can we learn more about God's love? 1 John 4, there's a long passage. This was, I was really kind of amazed at how much it talks about love in the Bible. I mean, I shouldn't be amazed, right? But there is a lot. And so this is a pretty big section in 1 John, but I'm going to read the whole thing. So this is 1 John 4. We're looking at verses 7 through 21 because it talks about God's love. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only Son, only begotten Son, into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins," in other words, to take the place of our sin. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit," the Holy Spirit. "We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have to know and believe the love which God has for us is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." God's very clear. He's very clear about himself. He's very clear about how we are to love, how we are to act. He loves us. God is very clear about his love for his son, Jesus, also. Mark 1:11, Jesus was baptized, and all of a sudden, this voice comes from heaven and says, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am pleased." God was very clear that he loved Jesus and that Jesus was his son. And then his love for us. 1 John 3:1 says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Now, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, those are the ones that are children of God. Not all of mankind are children of God. They're God's creation. But until they've accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, which then adopts them into God's family, they become then God's children. God gave his only Son for us. John 3:16, very familiar passage. "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." That's why Jesus came, for our salvation. And this love that God shows us has no strings attached, none whatsoever. Romans 5, 8, and 9 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. So God wasn't going to wait till we got our act together, because we never would have. But he says, I'm sending my son to die for sinners. And he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that some would accept him and some would reject him. And yet God loved us so much that he wanted to provide a way of salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. In other words, unmerited favor. There was nothing that we could do. There's nothing you can do to earn grace. Grace is a free gift given. He goes on to say that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. God freely gives his grace and mercy to us. And what might God's expectations be of us, those who he wants to love him? He also wants us to believe in Jesus Christ, his son. 1 John 3:23 says, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded. So his expectation for us is that we would believe in Jesus Christ. He tells us that's what we need to do to gain salvation. We also need to follow his commandments. Do what he says. If we love God, then we need to do what he says to do. First John 5, 2. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. So if we love God, then we need to do what he says. Jesus was very clear about that when he was here on this earth. If you believe in me, if you call me Lord, then do what I say. And the Bible is full of what he said. 2 John 5, 5-6 goes on to say, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment. So here's the Apostle John. He's writing to this group of people, and he's telling them, this isn't something new. This is something that you already know. So I'm not writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. So this idea of love God with everything you are and love your neighbor as yourself, this is Old Testament. This was thousands of years ago that God said this. This has always been the plan, that we're to love God with our whole being and that we're to love our neighbors ourselves. We need to love God with our whole heart. You can't love God with half a heart. You can't be loving something else over here and loving God completely. You can't do it. You need to love God with your whole soul. In other words, you need to trust your soul to him by accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. Love him with all your soul. And you need to love him with all your mind. You know how it is when you're trying to focus on something and something distracts you and, you know, it's just hard to focus? That's what he's talking about here is, are we focused on God? Are we giving him our whole mind? Or are we sharing our mind with something else and with him? And then he says to do it with all of your strength, all of your passion, all of your energy, loving him. We can't love other things and God, holy. That's basically like having an idol. If I'm giving part of myself here and only part of myself to God, I need to give my whole self to God. So as we have been going through the Advent presentation here, we've been looking at hope and peace and joy and love. And that's something that we need to practice all year round. You know, having the peace of God, having hope, the kind of hope that people will look at us and wonder, why do you have hope? How do you have joy? Why is there this peace about you? How can you love those who aren't very lovely? We can really only do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's what God wants for us. He wants us to live in such a way that people see Him in us. That's His plan. That is His plan. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. And just the love that you have for us and how you have expressed it in your word. Providing us grace and mercy. Even though we were totally undeserving because of our sin, because of that sin that happened back in the Garden of Eden and how that has been then inherited by all of mankind. And yet you provided a way through Jesus Christ. That all that we have to do is believe that Jesus is who he said he was. That he is God and man come down to earth to die for us. All we have to do is believe that he went to the cross and died as that perfect sacrificial lamb. That he shed his blood for us. And then on that third day, he was raised from the dead to show that everything he said, everything he had done was true. And he confirmed it as he was raised from the dead. If you've not accepted Jesus as Savior, I encourage you to consider Jesus. Read the Gospel of John. See what it says about Jesus. Maybe you've got some misconceptions of who God is and not really seeing him as a God of love. And yet that's exactly who he is. He is love. And everything he does is out of love for us. Even though we don't always see how that plays out. Oh, Father, thank you again for this time today that we can come and we can worship you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's still some more of these little joy pamphlets out there. It's kind of a 10-day devotional on joy. There's still some out there. So God bless you all, and have a Merry Christmas.